With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
You are solely responsible for your interactions with other listeners of the Love Zone USA. You understand that the Love Zone USA does not in any way screen its listeners, nor does the Love Zone USA inquire into the backgrounds of its listeners or attempt to verify the statements of its listeners. The Love Zone USA makes no representations or warranties as to the conduct of its listeners or their compatibility with any current or future listeners. In no event shall the Love Zone USA or Blog Talk Radio be liable for any damages whatsoever, whether direct, indirect, general, special, compensatory, consequential, and or incidental, arising out of or relating to the conduct of you or anyone else in connection with the use of this service, including without limitation bodily injury, emotional distress, and or any other damages resulting from communications or meetings with other listeners of this service or persons you meet through this service. You agree to take reasonable precautions in all interactions with other listeners of the Love Zone USA, particularly if you decide to meet in person. In addition, you understand that the Love Zone USA makes no guarantees, either expressed or implied, regarding your ultimate compatibility with individuals you meet through listening to the Love Zone USA. The Love Zone USA. The Love Zone USA.
Your love makes a difference in my life.
Good evening. Welcome to the Love Zone USA. It's yours truly, Mike T, your host. On this beautiful evening, Thursday, we got a little rain today. And summer, August 1st. Today is August 1st. Yeah, that's the, I guess, the kick-in for letting you know it's almost back to school time and summer is almost over. But we still have some summer left, and we're going to make sure that we do everything in our power to allow you to enjoy it. So on that note, with no further ado, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you this evening and say, please, we have a show for you tonight that, as we always say, it's time to educate, elevate, and entertain around here. This is the place where you can listen to your heart and we live and learn. We call it the Love Zone USA. And tonight we plan to educate, and we're going to do that through our guest, our music, hopefully some of your experiences, and every now and then I might chime in and have something, you know, of note to say that you might even learn something from your host. So, for those of you who want to listen to the show, just go to thelovezoneusa.com and then click on the broadcast tab, and then click on the Blog Talk Radio logo, and that'll take you to a space where you can listen to the show and also win tickets. Speaking of which, we have been giving away tickets in our association with B.B. King's restaurant in New York City. And in doing so, we've been giving away these tickets for you, our listeners, as a thank you for those of you who have been sharing our links and telling your friends about the show, calling in, leaving us emails, and letting us know that love is universal and music is universal, and the two go well together. The two go well together. So it's our thank you to you. I'd also like to thank two people who did an outstanding job on Monday. We had Faith Evans on the show and our operations manager, Denise Duran, hosted along with co-host Fallon Moreno. They did a wonderful job. And in so doing and putting that show together, it's evident that the audience has taken off and enjoying it because the numbers speak loud and clear. So prior to that show, we were, just in the 140-something thousand listeners. Well, after that show, in one day's total, there were 8,000 more listeners added to our platform because of the job that they did, the preparation and securing the guests. And it seems from the comments that everyone enjoyed it, the interview with Faith Evans. And if you haven't heard it, go to our Love Zone page, and we still have it up. You can go and check it out in the archive. But I want to thank those two for a job well done. 8,000 more listeners, and we are now over 156,000 listeners. Yes, that's right. It took us 2 years to get to 100,000, and that started in January of this year when we reached that plateau. Now, on August 1st, we're 50,000 listeners in over a show that started one night a week. Now we have several shows. We're talking about the show tomorrow as well. But I do have on the line with, I would be remiss if I didn't do this right now, I have one of the winners of the B.B. King concert tickets. Let's see if we can get her on the line. Is this Lisa?
This is Elisa. How are you?
Hello, Elisa. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Well, congratulations on getting those tickets, and I understand you went to the show, and why don't you tell our audience what your feelings were about it? And you went to the Mary Mary show.
Yes, Mary Mary. They are some blessed sisters with beautiful voices. They didn't need any instrumentation in the background. They really didn't. They're just beautiful, beautiful souls. So I really enjoyed myself. Of course, I took my husband, Larry, with me, and we just had a ball. It was a blast. It really was.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So did they sing some of your favorite songs?
Yeah, you know, I just became a new fan of theirs, but they sang Shackles and Yesterday and The God in Me. So I had a ball. I really did.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I'd like to thank you for participating and definitely going to the show and taking some time out to call in and letting our listeners know that, you know, what went on. You know, we take it at face value. And I didn't prep, so I just said let her call in and let her tell our audience about what happened at the show.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I guess you would go and see them, Mary again?
Absolutely. No question.
All right.
I sure would.
Well, Lisa, I'd like to thank you for calling in. And, you know, on that note, I'm going to leave you with one of the songs that they perform. So keep
thank
tuning
you.
In because we're going to have some more ticket giveaways. And right now we're going to continue on this evening with starting things off with Mary and the God in Me here inside the Love Zone, USA.com.
Bye. Yo, this is EQ, exceptional quality. Yo, when I'm taking a break from making tracks, you know what I got on. I got that Love Zone USA, top 7 of the last 7 countdown, every Friday from 8 to 9, featuring Tony Diamond. Love Zone.
And Tony will be here tomorrow, along with that young lady that you just heard sing. Her name is JL Music. She's going to be here tomorrow, along with our producer, who's doing the music and producing the show today. That's the top 7 of the last 7 days, the countdown. Be sure to check it out tomorrow with JL Music. Tomorrow night with Tony Diamond. Check him out. It's going to be a very interesting show. She's been on before, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got going on with her tomorrow night. As for tonight, well, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you what this show is about. Well, it's about the number one reason for divorce is finance. And there have been some articles recently about finance in the news. And I invited a guest. His name is DeForest Soares. He is a pastor. And he is actually my pastor. That's right. He baptized me. And he's going to be talking about his book. We're going to talk about his book and the book D-Free. And that's a book based on the idea and concept to eliminate the shackles of what we call financial slavery and get you back on the right road to financial health. So we definitely want you to check out tonight's show with our guests, who should be here around 8:30 or so. D-Free, Breaking Free from Financial Slavery. That's the title of the book. We're going to talk to him about that, along with his association with Bob Johnson and some of the other things that he's doing, as well as our topic, the number one reason for divorce, finances. So hopefully if we can get that in order, we can have a more, I guess, stable relationships, stable families, and stable families build stable communities. So we definitely want you to stick and stay for getting an education about that. Speaking of finance, this young man, he wrote a song about it. He wrote a song about his financial situation with a woman. When we talk about marriage, like I said, the number one reason for divorce is finance. So if you don't have finance and you're lacking it, can you still have love? Let's find out right now with my good man, Charlie Wilson. He says, "My love is all I have." Here inside the Love Zone USA.com.
Hello, do you have a minute? I noticed you from across the room. Excuse me, miss, don't take this wrong. I couldn't resist that smile and those beautiful eyes. I can see that you wear fancy clothes and drive a fancy car. Your hair did and your nails done, looking like a superstar. Can I take you out to dinner, baby? 'Cause there's something that I wanna say to you. My love is all I have. Count seven figures, and I may not have a sailboat and a big old mansion, oh no, but I do know how to love you, baby, and in my own way,
Love Zone USA, where you can listen to your heart, and we live and learn.
She's not a lover, she's just a friend.
Well, it looks like that's a song by Angie Stone. We're giving away tickets to see Angie Stone at B.B. King's in New York. If you want to go to a nice place, take a young lady out to see a show. Well, you heard it earlier. One of our winners went to see Mary Mary, and she enjoyed it. And if you want to see Angie Stone, well, we got tickets to see her. Yeah. And we're going to give away those tickets tonight if you want to do it. And we also will allow you to get those tickets through Facebook or our website. So just hang in there. We got all night. Well, we got a lot to cover. I don't know if I'm going to cover everything that I wanted to speak to our guest about this evening. Maybe if we're lucky, we could do a part two. But we're going to try to cover as much ground as we can. And with no further ado, I want to bring on this gentleman, our guest tonight, and he has been the 30th Secretary of State, State of New Jersey. He is now currently the pastor of First Baptist Lincoln Gardens, and he has been honored and done a lot in so many different areas for people, and he just has a love for helping people. But he's turned his focus to something that is, I guess, touched his heart and is real important to him to help people. I know he's stood in lines and marches, and people have called him, matter of fact, when they had the incident down in Rutgers with the young ladies, you probably heard it in the news, he kind of spearheaded that movement to get some education to, as we say, IMUS. So he could understand diversity a little bit better. So he's been on many fronts, and now he's here, and we're going to talk to him about his book, about D-Free, and that's getting yourself free from financial slavery, and that's probably a pretty hard take on it, but we're going to bring him in and get his thoughts on that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you our guest, Pastor DeForest Soares. Pastor, are you with me?
Mike T, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. I'm glad and that you could, you know, take some time out. I know you're busy to lend some insight to our audience, and I think what you're doing is very timely right about now.
Well, Mike, I want to thank you. First, I want to congratulate you for embracing this new technology. This blog talk radio is something that some younger people introduced me to. My son does it. My cousin does it. But you have taken it to a level that I think most people don't realize. And you're an old, not old and chronologically, but old and experienced. You're an experienced radio personality, and you've been a pioneer of so many things that I don't want to go into. But so let me congratulate you for what you are doing, and let me inform you. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're actually doing a simulcast tonight. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it. And I'm usually trying to keep up with everything on Facebook and Twitter, but you must have got that one past me.
I thought I'd try to nudge you to higher ground. We are live now on Spreecast. And so as you are on your Blog Talk Radio platform, I'm on a video platform called Spreecast. And so we are literally broadcasting simultaneously on two separate platforms right now tonight. My viewers can hear you, and your listeners can hear me.
Oh, excellent. I love it. Now, you know that's that's close to my heart. Simulcast? Oh, that is wonderful. Spreecast. I saw that listed. You've been doing that lately with a couple other events that you had, and I didn't get a chance to check it out. But, yeah, that is...
Spreecast is amazing. It's like YouTube, social cam, Facebook, all combined. And it's a marvelous tool. I love it, and I use it. This is my third Spreecast, but it's my first simulcast. You are the pioneer of the Spreecast simulcast model. So thank you.
Well, I thank you, because I'm going to be into it right after this show. You can rest assured of that. And I'm like to welcome your Spreecast audience to our show. And what our show's mission was, that I started this out a couple of years ago, to say that, well, we have a problem with this 50% marriage divorce. And I thought that Internet, since it has done so many things and eliminated record shops and retailers and wholesalers by this one little medium, I thought maybe we could put a dent in education of helping the families grow so that if we have a two-parent family, I know it's a big mission, but I thought through this medium, through music and marriage, we could hopefully put a dent in that and get the needle to swing the other way. And that's
well,
why I wanted
watching,
to...
I've been watching you for a couple of years, and as you said, the Internet has become a major force in the world. I told my leaders at the church the other night that any church that doesn't have a website today is like a church that didn't have a telephone 10 years ago. And what you've done is taken this neutral platform. I mean, the Internet is neither good nor bad. It's a tool to be used one way or the other. And you've taken this neutral platform to use it for good, to promote something that we don't promote enough, and that is love, legitimate love, and permanent marriage. And so I admire you, I respect you, and I'll do everything I can to support you.
I appreciate it, Pastor. I really appreciate it. So with no further ado, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about your background, and then we're going to get right into the book and some of the things you're doing.
Well, I was raised to be a civil rights activist. I was in high school when Martin Luther King was killed, and the day of his assassination was really a turning point in my life. My dad, as I told my audience before I came on with you, was a part-time minister, full-time school teacher. My mom was a secretary who became a teacher. So I lived a normal life, grew up in suburban New Jersey. And when I was in high school, until Dr. King was killed, my only interest was in basketball and girls. But the day Martin Luther King was killed, I saw the impact it made on my grandmother's life. And I said at that moment that I wasn't really that sure of who Martin Luther King was. I mean, I knew his name and I knew about the March on Washington, but I was a 16-year-old kid, and I decided that anyone who could have that kind of impact on my grandmother was someone whose life I wanted to know more about, and ultimately I wanted to make the kind of impact on someone's life that Dr. King made. And from that day up until now, I've tried to spend some time every single day of my life not only improving my life, but also engage in activities that address the possibility of improving other people's lives. In college, for instance, after I finished high school, went to college, and I started leading an anti-drug campaign. And our anti-drug efforts were so effective that the drug dealers came to my dorm room and kidnapped me at gunpoint, and had it not been for a very brave police officer, they would have taken my life. I've been involved in voter registration and organizing tenants to get better respect and response from their landlords. I've been involved in politics. I've been in government. I've boycotted stores. Anything that I thought could help people live better lives, I've tried to engage in some activity concretely to do that. What happened to me, Mike, was this, though. During that season of my life, and I guess I met you when, back in the 70s or the 80s?
70s, yeah, absolutely.
When I met you, I was an activist, and I was proud of my activism. I wasn't selling drugs. I wasn't committing crimes. I mean, I was living what I thought an upstanding life, but I was broke. When I say I was broke, I was living above my means. I was driving an expensive car that made me look good, but that car was eating up 50% of my paycheck. I had credit cards, and I was paying credit cards off with credit cards. I was paying last month's bills with next week's check. I had no savings. I had no insurance. And worse than all of that, I felt fine living that way. Now, I had a job. I had a job. So it wasn't that I was unemployed. My problem is by halfway through the month, you know, all the money that I made was gone. I'd have to go to my dad. You know, when I got my first job, I'd go to my dad and say, "Dad, you know, I just need some money to make it through the month." And he'd say, "Look, you work every day." And I'd say, "Yeah, but Dad, you know, I don't know where my money goes." And then he would say to me, "Well, your money does not get up and leave home at night while you're sleeping." I mean, your money goes where you take it. But I was dressing for success. I wanted to look good. I started in my ministry. I was a preacher, you know, when I was 25 years old. And I wanted to dress like a preacher and look like a preacher. But I was so broke, I couldn't even donate money to my own church. And I had all of this image. I had fallen into the trap of wanting to look good on the outside and never thinking about what that meant for my future. And I lived that way for 15 years. I got my first credit card at 18, and for the next 15 years of my life, I got deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. I couldn't pay my income taxes, didn't pay my income taxes. The IRS had liens, took out my money from my bank account. I mean, it was disastrous to the point that when I met the woman to whom I'm married today, I couldn't even get married because I was too broke. And I was too embarrassed to tell her I was broke because I didn't look broke. I was driving Cadillacs and Lincoln Continentals. I was in the newspapers, on television, leading marches, and I was absolutely, positively broke. I couldn't afford anything. And when my grandmother died. My grandmother died when she was 80, and I was 30, 31. And when she died, my grandmother actually had three houses paid for. Now, Mike, here's a woman who had a sixth grade education. She had six children. Her husband, after the sixth child, had a stroke, and she had to care for him in a wheelchair. Mm. And her only skill was a seamstress. She was like Rosa Parks. I mean, she sold people's dresses. But when that woman died at 80 years old, after having lived as virtually a single parent, black woman in New York in the 1900s, she owned a house in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, that was ultimately worth $2 million. She owned a house in upstate New York that had 23 bedrooms on 20 acres of land. And she owned a house in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, that had a four-family house and that had four tenants in it that paid rent every month. And she left that house to myself and to my uncle. The first house I owned, I inherited from my grandmother. Mm. And when my grandmother died, that was my father's mother, I said to myself, if my grandmother, black woman in New York, facing racism, discrimination, glass ceiling, all of what we preach about, if that woman could die and leave us real estate, then shame on me if when I die, all I have to leave my kids is credit card bills.
Mm.
And I started a process. I started listening to talk radio instead of just listening to music. I started going to the library and finding books about money. I started reading the Wall Street Journal. I started studying what it takes to really have some finances. And I began climbing my way out of debt. I began focusing on assets instead of liabilities. And it was so effective that I took control of my life. I stopped smoking. I mean, you know, what happens, Mike, when you take control of your finances, other parts of your life kind of get in line. Because it's not about the money. It's about the discipline required to live a financially sound life. So fast forward to 2005, I'm now the pastor of a church. We've got probably by 2005, 5,000 members, and we've built a new structure. We've built houses for low-income people. We've adopted children. And it occurred to me then that the members of my big, prestigious First Baptist Church in New Jersey were living the same way I had been living for those 15 years. And I decided to dedicate the rest of my ministry to helping people learn how to pay as we go and pay our bills on time and live within our means. That's what D-Free stands for. No debt, no delinquencies, no deficits, so that they can make deposits, that's D, into their own accounts. They can earn dividends, that's another D, from their investments. And they can have their names on deeds of real estate that they own. So we started this economic movement. We didn't march on City Hall asking for reparations. We didn't march on Washington asking for increased food stamps. We began a movement at First Baptist to take control of what we have, because the Bible says, who will trust you with more if you don't handle what you have well? And today we've had over 700-800 families go through what is now our D-Free curriculum. We've got churches around the country using my materials. I've published a book and a workbook that people can use on a step-by-step basis. It's not enough to preach prosperity to people. It's not enough to get people all motivated about what they can do and what God will do. What I discovered was that people need practical steps that they can take starting right now. And the fringe benefit is that marriages are stronger, because what we've discovered is what you already know, and that is that financial stresses, financial disagreements, financial arguments are the number one contributor to divorce in America.
And Pastor, I want to say, when we come back, I want to go to a music break. I want to talk about the humiliation and embarrassment that you felt, that I think a lot of people are feeling if they have to come, well, as you stated, pull the covers off in order to take that next step, as you state in your book, to admit you have a problem. I want to talk about that when we come back. And I also want to talk about the $1 billion challenge. We're going to get to all that, but we're going to take going to some music. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor DeForest Soares. He's going to give you his insight. We're also going to talk about why you should be listening to him, and he's not an accountant. But I think he's laid out that platform really clear as it started with his own life. We're going to come back and talk to more about his book, The $1 billion Challenge, his association with Bob Johnson, and more importantly, the embarrassment that many of you feel to have the covers taken off. And when you feel like you can't talk to anyone because you created this financial spider web that you think you can't get out. So on that note, we're going to come back with Pastor Soares in just a little bit. But right now, we're going to go into some music. Talking about money tonight, we're going to kick it off right now with something you need to know about money. It was written by two good friends of mine, Lee Iacocca and Terry Gamble. It's called money.
Money through your love, honey, the things have I heard you say. when I need a lethal weapon against the challenges of love, I'll call on the Love Zone USA. This is Danny Glover.
Want to generate more traffic and sales for your business starting now? Well, here's the marketing tool you've been looking for. What about advertising your business product or service to singles? Well, everybody knows singles have the most money to spend, and thelovezoneusa.com has accumulated the largest audience of singles on internet radio. They've done this through a variety of shows discussing sex and controversial topics in the areas of relationships, dating, and marriage. They've also attracted celebrities to their show who are known by millions of listeners and fans, like The Temptations, divorce attorney Raoul Felder, Gloria Allred, and Danny Glover. Your business will be exposed as a sponsor of a variety of shows with universal themes featuring love and music, celebrities, sex, and other controversial topics, offering your business maximum exposure to singles who have the most discretionary income to spend. So contact one of our business consultants today so they can show you how you can generate more traffic and sales to your website by becoming a sponsor of thelovezoneusa.com.
Hey, this is R&B singer John Michael, and I will be joining the Sophisticated Ladies on the Girlfriend Network August 5th at 5 p.m. You can listen and chat with me. Listen in August 5th at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on thelovezoneusa.com.
And John Michaels will be here this coming Monday with our hosts, Fallon Moreno and Zena. They'll be here to talk to John Michaels. He's a young artist that I discovered over there, and BB King's. We're giving away tickets. I think you'll like him. Check him out this coming Monday. Let's go back to our guest. I want to talk to him about one of the problems that I think most people have. And as I close, as my producer played that last song about no romance without finance, and that being the number one reason for divorce, I want Pastor Soares to address, before we get further into his book, about the embarrassment and humiliation that most people feel when they've fallen into that entanglement that he talked about, the IRS, the credit cards, wanting, living above their means, having the nice car because it's a status symbol in the community. How do you address that, and how do you say, well, I do have a problem, but you don't want to show anybody, but who can you show it to and feel safe about it to, as they say, come out of that entanglement, Dr. Soares, and try to get to the road?
You put your finger on the word that is the key word for this entire conversation, and the word is feel. The word feel speaks to our emotions. And unfortunately, we have an emotional relationship with things financial. Until we can separate our feelings from our finance, we're going to be in trouble. Here's what happens. First, I feel inadequate because I don't possess certain things. That's a feeling. And then I feel compelled to buy things that I can't afford. And then I feel embarrassed because I can't pay the bill. And then I feel the pain of the consequences of my inability to pay the bill. And so when the IRS puts a lien on me or garnishes my wages, I feel embarrassed. But the constant through all from the time that I make the decision to spend to the time that I'm embarrassed because of the outcome, the constant is feeling. And what we have to recognize is that the advertising industry and marketing campaigns are aiming at our feelings. You see, when our grandparents bought items, consumer items, refrigerators, my grandmother called it a Frigidaire, my grandmother would buy a refrigerator based on how it functioned. And so grandma would buy a refrigerator if she felt she got the best product for the best price to meet her need. Today, we don't buy things like refrigerators. We don't buy anything unless we're really thinking based on functionality. We buy things based on feeling. In the book, I talk about three types of spending. One is compensatory spending, where we spend money on to gain significance. You see, if I have an argument with my girlfriend, with my wife, with my children, and that argument makes me feel unappreciated, it makes me feel angry, it makes me feel like upset, then typically what I will do in this culture is I'll call a couple of my friends, we'll go to the mall, we'll go shopping, we'll spend money, and we call that retail therapy. You see, we actually have a term for it, that if you feel bad, shop until you feel better. Right. So Mike, what I was saying during the break, you play music during your break, and I talk over your music during my break. What I was telling my listeners during our break is that we've got to think this thing through, because feeling better as a result of spending money we don't have is like using a drug to get high, realizing we're going to come down soon. What we have to do is we have to really look at ourselves and tell the truth about ourselves and ask ourselves the question, are we investing in our future, or are we wasting money chasing feelings that, frankly, money can't buy? But that's the key. The key word in this entire conversation is feelings.
And let me ask you, in regards to the way most people grow up, who is their model for, you know, you talked about your grandmother and how she, and I think most of us come from meager beginnings where our parents had things, weren't in a lot of debt, and we wonder why we have all this technology and everything we have going on, and you have all of these people in all of this financial debt. So who are the role models, and where do they get this financial education? And again, I also want you to address that I saw an article saying, well, he's no accountant, and why should
right.
they take your financial advice to come out of this hole that they're in?
Yeah, I know accountants that have gone to jail for embezzlement. I mean, look at the financial crisis where we had global economic crisis basically driven by decisions made by accountants.
Mm.
So I wouldn't put all my stock in accountants. I'd put my stock in people who lived within their means, paid the bills on time, and had something to leave their children.
Right.
And most of those people were not accountants. Look, Mike, here is the key to your question. You talked about our role models. Our role models up until about the 1970s were the people that we lived with, our parents and our grandparents. And so I would go to the store with my mother when I was a child. My mother would see a dress for $60. She'd give the man $10 and say, hold it. Next 15, and then the next month she'd bring back $15. And she'd say to the man, okay, put this on my dress. And after 6-7 months, my mother would have paid off the dress. We call that layaway. Layaway meant pay now and bring home later.
Mm-hmm.
But what was there was a convergence and an emergence of a consumer culture where credit cards flooded the market. I mean, we have more credit cards in this country than we have people. The average American today, American family, has over $9,000 in credit card debt. We didn't grow up that way. And our role models switched from the people in our churches, the people on our block, the people in our family, to the people on television. I mean, television became the all-pervasive tool. And so instead of keeping up with the Joneses who live next door to us, you know, it really wasn't that bad to keep up with the Joneses back in the day, because the Joneses lived on your block, which meant they lived in the same size house. They had generally the same salaries. You know, keeping up with the Joneses back in the day was really not that negative. Today, you keep up with the Joneses that you see on television who, first of all, are fictitious people. Reality TV is not real. And so we've developed this culture of keeping up with Joneses that don't even exist. So we want to live like the rich and the famous. We emulate people who are paid to play roles, and so we've adopted and embraced this culture of fantasy that costs money. And then we feel out of place if we don't have the style, if we don't wear the latest clothes, if we don't have the right colors. And so this is a massive problem. It's coupled with, you know, politicians who want us to think that the way we help the economy is stop. I mean, I'll never forget after 9/11, George Bush, who was president, came out and said, go shopping. And shopping becomes the standard of success. Shopping becomes a sign of our patriotism. And what I'm telling you is that our country has the lowest savings rate of any country in the Western world. And if you don't save money, then you are vulnerable to all of the schemes that come along to help bail you out when you have an emergency. And those schemes include payday lenders that will charge you 390% interest to borrow $400. So this is as daunting a challenge as our civil rights barriers ever were, but we have not kept pace with the reality. The reality is our number one challenge today is the fact that we waste money. African Americans will spend $1 trillion next year. That's trillion with a T. But in Texas, black people spend $1.1 billion a year on lottery tickets. Just Texas. So we have Morris Brown College. We have almost every black college in America is on the brink of financial disaster, yet in one state, wow, African Americans spend $1 billion on lottery tickets, and nobody says a word.
Well, Pastor, let me ask you this about people who have that me now, live for today, tomorrow is in promise. I came from meager beginnings, you know, my neighborhood, the hood, and now they've gotten to the place in life where they want it now. How do you answer and address that when that is part of the problem, them spending out of control and not living within their means because they now have the whereabouts to spend, but they came from a life that, you know, they didn't have. They felt deprived, and that's a childhood thing. How do you address that?
Well, there's a difference between being comfortable and being wasteful. And it is possible to be comfortable without being wasteful, because when you think about that philosophy, tomorrow is not promised to you, but tomorrow is promised to somebody. I mean, we have wonderful people, nice people, who can't afford to pay for a funeral. And that's promised. Death is promised. And why should I live the kind of life that straps my children and their friends and their friends' friends with the cost of my funeral? I mean, let's be frank about this. If I love my children, at the very least, I'll set aside enough money or have enough insurance to pay for my funeral. And family after family after family has to pass the hat and take up collections because no one thought about tomorrow.
Right.
So I don't know how we can claim to be legitimately passionate about condemning other people for the way they treat us, but then at the same time have that eat, drink, and be merry mentality for tomorrow you will die. If I die tomorrow, my children will be dead tomorrow, and the question is, what have I done to make life for my children better than life was for me? The Bible says in Proverbs that a good person leaves an inheritance to his children's children, which means that if I'm all that, you know, if I'm smart and if I'm relevant and if I'm a legitimate person, then I should be working to make life better for my grandchildren. You know, all of us today, Mike, all of us, black, white, everybody, every American today is the beneficiary of sacrifices made by previous generations. This is the first time in American history, and certainly the first time in black history, where we, by our own choices, are making life more difficult for our children and grandchildren than it was for us. We owe it to God, we owe it to history, we owe it to our children to leave this place better for them than it was when we got here.
Absolutely. You know what, Pastor, I want to talk about your book in the chapter where you talk about Start the Plan. And
right.
I want to talk about Start the Plan with those people who really think they're too far gone when we come back. So, ladies and gentlemen, we may take some questions from you, the audience. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy as we talk about D-Free and relieving those chains of financial slavery with our guest, Pastor.
Spider web of financial, madness that they can't get out.
How do you reach that person, Reverend Soares, to get them started?
Well, first, Mike, I just want to commend you again on this music. I don't know where you find this music. Do you actually have albums where you are, or are you using CDs? Or I mean, where do you get this music? I told my people while you were on break that Mike T is nothing but an old school urban disc jockey. That's who Mike T is.
Yes, I am, and we're bringing that back. and you know, LJ Reynolds, you know, we talk about R&B music, and that R&B music, most of these artists came from the church, and I like to find their songs where they actually came out of the church. And
the ones who can really sing came from church.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's get to your point.
I dig deep. Go ahead.
Here's what I've learned now. I've been working on this for 8 years, literally every day. A couple of things. First of all, there are four levels that we lay out in the book, and four levels, those four levels came from experience. Number one, get started, and that's your question. How do I get started? All of us use money. It doesn't matter if you are a multimillionaire or if you're on welfare. All of us use money, and the first thing you have to do is write down every penny you spend and everything you spend it on for 30 days. That's what I did. That's how I got started. I just wrote down my process. I discovered, Mike, that I was spending $200, $300, $400 on things and didn't even realize it. I mean, you know, we spend money on 800 cable stations when, in fact, we probably could get by with 7. We spend money on cigarettes. In California last week, they told me cigarettes cost $7 a pack. You know, some people just can't afford to smoke. It's not even about cancer. You just can't afford to smoke. We spend money on Starbucks. We spend money on things, and it adds up. You see, what happens is we spend, 50 cents on something, and we don't feel it. But if you add that up, by the end of the month, you might have spent $15, and that $15 can make a difference. So you start there. The other thing we have to be really frank about is, what is our income? Now, what I said about you during the break was this. No radio station, no commercial radio station called you and said, Mike T, come on our station and do a 4-hour show. So you decided that you have skills, you have gifts, you're going to do your own. And what we have to do more is to find out within ourselves what we're able to do and turn that into revenue. So you start by writing things down, developing a plan. After 30 days, you'll see where your money's going. You can make some decisions. I have a workbook, and there's a whole exercise in the workbook called Finding Your Spending Leaks, because your spending leaks represent money that's leaking out of your pocket that could be better used doing something else. I'm sure that many people, if they would just take the time to think about it and count the money, they will discover that spending $57 a month on lottery tickets may not be a wise investment, particularly if they have no savings, particularly if they have no insurance. You can buy $500,000 worth of life insurance at a young age if you don't smoke for $25 a month. So this is what we're teaching people to do. We're begging people to start by writing down every penny that we spend. I had a woman who was in foreclosure. She wanted me to call the bank to reduce the interest rate. But after 30 days of writing down what she spent, we discovered she spent $250 on pay-per-view. You can get a movie from Redbox for $1.
Wow.
So we start with our own choices. You know, unfortunately, many of our young ladies are addicted to fingernails and will spend $70, $80 a month on fingernails and have no savings account. I was addicted to neckties, Mike. My problem, and this speaks really to this whole divorce issue, my problem was neckties. I had more neckties than any one human being should have. I had neckties at the house, neckties at the church, and I had so many neckties. And I love neckties, that I went to buy a necktie, I brought it home, and I discovered I already own that necktie. Now, that's when you know you have a problem. When you buy something and you already have it, you have a problem. But If I keep buying neckties, then why wouldn't my wife keep buying shoes? And then if I tell my wife, well, we can't afford shoes, my wife will say, well, we can't afford neckties. And I'll say, well, I need neckties. I'm the pastor. She'll say, I need shoes. I'm the first lady. And we could end up having a real conflict over neckties and shoes when, in fact, the problem is not the necktie. It's not the shoe. The problem is we haven't sat down to develop a spending plan where we agree on how many neckties and how many shoes we can afford. And that's what's happened between husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, people and significant others. What's happening is we don't have an agreement on the front end on how we're going to spend money and what we're going to buy. And so we have this ongoing conflict as we go, and the conflict turns into arguments, and the arguments turn into fights, and the fights turn into divorce.
And can you tell us a little bit about your association with Bob Johnson and this billion-dollar challenge, and tell our listeners about that?
As I've been, and thanks for asking that, as I've been traveling the country helping people avoid debt and helping people get out of debt, what I noticed was that people were caught in certain types of debt that were almost impossible to get out, and one of them was the payday loan. Now, in the state that I live in the state that we live in, we don't have payday loan stores. But in Alabama, Mississippi, California, Ohio, and many other states, there's an actual store, much like the check cashing stores, that you can walk into, and in 20 minutes you can borrow $500 with no credit check. If you have a job, a pay stub, and a bank account, you know, they'll lend you $500. Now, what they say is that, look, make out a check, and we'll deposit it next Thursday when you get paid. Or they'll say, sign this sheet, and we'll take the $500 out of your account when you get paid next Thursday. Well, here's the truth. If I need $500 today, I'm probably not going to have it. If I get paid next Thursday, I'm probably not going to have it next Thursday. So what happens is next Thursday, when I don't have the $500 to pay back, they will give me another loan to pay back that loan, but I have to pay a fee each time I take out a loan. Now, how much is the fee? The fee is generally $15 per hundred, okay? So $15 per hundred, that sounds like 15%. I mean, in simple math, it's 15%. When I wrote my book, my editor called me and said, you know, what's the problem with 15%? Credit cards charge more than that. And it would be 15% interest if you had a year to pay it back. I mean, interest rates are based on a 12-month repayment cycle. If I lend you $100 and I charge you $15 and you have to pay me back next week, that is 390% interest, because every 2 weeks comes 26 times a year. So you have to multiply 26 times 15. Well, what the Center for Responsible Lending has discovered is that the average person who takes out a payday loan, they need 9 more payday loans before they get out of that payday loan, because it's hard. If you need $500 because you're broke, it's going to take you months to get that $500 back. And every time you renew the loan, you have to pay another $15 per hundred, which in the case of $500 is $75. So if you pay $75 nine times, then you pay back a heck of a lot of money to pay off $500. So the problem is, the more I preach about it, the more I'm actually giving them free publicity. There are more payday loan stores in America today than there are McDonald's and Starbucks combined. In addition to that, they can lend you money online. So the only way to compete with the payday lender and get people out of this trap is you got to have a relationship with somebody that will do the same thing, get people $500 in 20 minutes, but help them get out of it. Well, Bob Johnson, as you know, is one of the two black billionaires in America. Bob Johnson and I are working on a strategy where we will actually be able to get people money in 20 minutes to pay off their payday loan, and then to get out of that loan within 10 days, and then get out of that loan within 2 weeks, and then get out of that loan so they can be debt-free within 3 months. So we're going to go after there are 12 million people in America caught up in a payday loan scheme, and probably another 4 or 5 million a year who think they need a payday loan, and we're pulling together the resource. With my mouth and his money, we think we'll help millions of people.
And Pastor, along with saving these people, besides your book, is there going to be any kind of education awareness so that they can have a road and a path and a plan to go down that hopefully they won't end up there and that lesson will be learned?
Yeah, that's exactly right. All of the people that we help will be attached to a D3 program. Now, we're operating in churches. We're going to the workplace. However, we're doing mobile apps and online education. I mean, one of the reasons, Mike, we're doing a simulcast tonight, I'm literally practicing using online video tools to spread the word about financial empowerment. So we've got a show coming on YouTube. I'm on Spreecast, and we're using electronic, just like you've taken the Blog Talk Radio, we're taking this information as broadly and widely as we can so that anyone who takes out a loan will be empowered and less likely to repeat that behavior in the future. You know, we have a lot of churches where people are asked to bring their credit cards to church, and they come to the altar, and they pray, and they cry, and they cut up their credit cards, and 3 days later, they go and get a new credit card. So what we're talking about is a behavioral shift that is supported and reinforced, not only with materials, but with people. The best encouragement and support that a person can get is from another person. And that's why I'm not intimidated by people who say, well, you're not a financial advisor, you're not an accountant, you're not certified. Look, I'm a debtor saved by God. So I've been there. I have been so broke that when the bill came in the mail, I didn't even open it. I just put it in the shoebox. I've been there. I've been on the receiving end of telephone calls from bill collectors, you know, whose first names I knew. I have been there. I have not had a car repossessed, but that's probably about the only thing that has not happened to me. And so the fact that I've gone from that, I'm on the board, Mike, of a bank that has $100 billion today, $100 billion. I sit around a table every month with bank presidents. We lend banks billions of dollars overnight. I'm on the board of a corporation that owns $100 million worth of real estate, and every time I sit around the table with those men, I kind of pinch myself and say, is this real? Because these were the very people chasing me to pay off my credit card a few years ago.
Right.
So if I can do it, if I can get out of debt, if I can own real estate, if I can have my own business, if I can have investments, you know, not only here but abroad, if I can do that given my ignorance, my foolishness, and my mistakes, then I believe anybody can do it.
And I want to talk about the D-Free Living when we come back and how people can contact you who are embarrassed, humiliated, and where can they go and what can they do. And I want to talk about all of that when we come back. Pastor Soares, would you hang in there with me?
Okay, Mike T. I'm with you.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead and say that again.
I'm talking to my friend. While you take your break, I'll be talking to my friends on Spreecast. You'll be able to see this stuff later on so that I can explain more about you and what we're doing.
I love it. Well, just hold there for a minute, and we're going to go to this song by Michael Jackson, and it's one that has never been released, and it's something you probably never heard, and it's a song entitled Someone's Hand, and Put Your Hand Out. Here inside the LoveZoneUSA.com, this is an unreleased song by Michael Jackson.
Everybody, this is yours truly, James, and around from the Tom Donna Morning Show presents my good friend, Talent.
Booyah.
What's the deal, y'all? It's your boy Talent. You know what it is. It's just comedy. That's right, baby. And you want to join me on the Love Zone USA as a guest because I'm going to be putting it down date after date. So get your Thursdays ready, baby, because it's going down June 13th, June 27th, July 11th, and July 25th. Thursdays as I bring comedy to the love and relationships. Don't take it personal. It's just comedy. Or is it? I'll talk to you soon. It's boy Talent, Love Zone USA. It's just comedy.
What's good, people? It's your boy Tony Diamond. The Love Zone USA top 7 of the last 7 countdown. Do remember this Monday and every Monday between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we got the Girlfriend Network with your host Zena. It's that show where the ladies talk about love, sex, dating, relationships, and marriage. Call in, hit them up, 347-539-5729, so you can get in on the topic that they talk about. Remember, Monday, 5 to 6, the Girlfriend Network, thelovezoneusa.com.
And this coming Monday, they have John Michael, a brand new artist, who's going to be here, and he's going to be talking about the sophisticated ladies and how come men are men interested in sophisticated ladies. Be here this coming Mondays. Here, brand new R&B artists. I think you're going to like them. As well as tomorrow night, we got, Tony D, Tony Diamond, and JL Music right here on the Love Zone USA with the Countdown Show. That's 8 o'clock tomorrow night. We're going to go back to our guest, Pastor DeForest Soares. Before we let him go, I want to talk about two more things and a way to help those people that you've been talking about, Pastor, who I want to ask you, when people have discovered their, I guess, problem, and then they reduce the debt, but yeah, their job, and they're living within their means, but they created the debt, but now they can't cut anymore, and they're thinking, well, if this economy, if it wasn't in this economy, I could get another job or more income, I could really do more. What do you say about the people where you look at someone's credit and situation, and they have gotten down to the bare necessities, and they can't see any way out other than generating more income?
Yeah, that's very important. I don't address that adequately in the book, but I do address it significantly in the workbook. Since the book came out, I now have a workbook, which is a companion to the book. And in the workbook, there's an actual exercise where we take people through the process of identifying things they can do, looking at the marketability, or in small words, looking at who might be willing to pay you for doing that, and helping people both individually and in group process identify opportunities to be paid to do that. I tell the story, for instance, of a young man in the church who has not been able to keep a job, but he loves cleaning cars. He now has a mobile car wash, and he'll come to your house, the parking lot, and he can make $400 or $500 a day cleaning cars. He loves to clean cars. He does it well, and he's outside the box. We've got to think outside the box, Mike. This new economy requires that we think outside the box. I wish I had put you in the workbook. I mean, look at you. You're doing Blog Talk Radio. You've been doing it a couple of years. You've got a radio voice. You've got radio talent. You've got a passion for radio, both the spoken word and music. So you create your own radio show. We've got to stop waiting for opportunities that other people create, and we've got to start creating opportunities for ourselves. People will pay you to walk their dogs. People will pay you to watch their houses on vacation. People will pay you to take care of their kids. I mean, we've gotten so sophisticated that many of our kids don't even believe in babysitting. I mean, I know some teenagers that made tons of money before they went to college as babysitters. And so I just think we have to go back to some of our core values where we use what we had to get what we needed. The fact is, there are many people who need extra income. But rather than going to grandma and granddad and bleeding them of all of their retirement money and trying to live off of them, we've got to figure out ways to make money. We've got to sometimes come off of our high horse. We've got to get rid of our pride and match our skills to other people's budgets and get paid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Pastor Soares, tell our audience how they can contact you. I know you have the website,
sure.
Billion Dollar Challenge, and how they can get assistance and where they can get the book from.
Okay. Two things. The easiest way to connect with all of this, D3, Billion Dollar Challenge, First Baptist, is to go to my personal website. That's dbsoares.com. dbsoares.com. Now, here's what the Billion Dollar Challenge is, Mike. I told you that the average American family has over $9,000 in credit card debt. My goal is to help Americans pay off $1 billion in debt. And so we put together a website where you can log in, set up your own goals. The website will help you know how much you will have to pay on a regular basis. The website, you can form a group of people to do the challenge. In fact, Mike, what I'm going to invite you to do is to set up a Love Zone group on the Billion Dollar Challenge so that all of your listeners who join the Billion Dollar Challenge will be able to confidentially enter their information, celebrate together, and you as a host will be able to see how effective you've been in helping people get out of debt. Your numbers will be added to numbers nationally, and when you go to the website, you'll see this clock that says how much debt we have paid off as a people under the challenge.
Sounds like a plan to me. Sounds like a plan. And Reverend, would we be able to get you back maybe once a quarter to discuss? Because I think the financial aspect and insight that you're lending to our audience, as far as updates of what you're doing with Bob Johnson and more assistance, because it sounds like with all these payday loans situations that you've talked about, it sounds like we got to build an army to kind of reduce that.
Well, we do. We do, Mike, and I appreciate you. You know, I really should have thanked you at the top. I mean, you're always sending me encouraging email. You're always commenting on the messages from Sunday morning. You're always saying nice things about me and in reference to our work. We do need an army. We need an army that's going to really lift people up and tear down the barriers that stop people from moving forward. And so the answer to your question is yes. I'll be happy to come back. As long as you don't mind me pre-casting, I don't mind you blog talk radioing. And, you know, and what I'll do, what needs to happen is you need to come on camera while you're on radio, and we can do a complete simulcast where I'm on your radio show, you're on my webcast show, and we can do it all at the same time.
I love it. I'm open.
Okay. We'll make that happen.
We definitely got to make that happen. Well, Pastor Soares, I appreciate you coming on our show and lending your insight and spreading this word and definitely talking to our audience and letting the people know exactly, you know, what they face and how they can at least take steps and what's available as far as resources to get out of this situation. Really appreciate it.
Of course, we just scratched the surface tonight, but the key is for people to believe they can do better and then look for tools to get better and then get help and encouragement in the process of using those tools. And I think we've gotten off to a good start. What I want to do is help you help your listeners and your followers be free from debt and free to grow financially.
Sounds like a plan. And when we bring on these celebrities, I'm going to make sure I schedule your shows shortly, either before or after them, so that we get the benefit of that new plethora of people that normally come to our platform. Pastor
okay.
Soares, thank you so much.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Mike.
You, and I'll definitely be in touch with you.
Thank you.
All right. On that note, I'm going to close off this particular segment, and we're going to come back. It's about 10 minutes to 10. And on that note, I'd like to again thank Pastor Soares for lending his insight, talking about his book. We're going to post that on our Facebook page. as well as our website. So if you haven't got the information or if you scribbled it down wrong, have no fear. We'll put it on the website and our Facebook fan page, and we're going to do that tonight or tomorrow, so you'll have it available to you. We have two records that we're going to close with tonight, and I'd like to thank again our staff, Tony, Zena, definitely Fallon, and Miss Denise Duran for the work that they do and the dedication they are putting into helping me build this platform so that we can assist other people. Again, we got some B.B. King tickets. The registration page will be on our Facebook page. We got Maxi Priest tickets. We've got Angie Stone tickets. We've got some Larry Graham tickets coming up. So if you want to get away and get out and have a good time on us, you know, we're talking about D-Free and reducing debt. Well, you won't have to pay for the tickets. You just pay for your meal at B.B. King's in New York City. Well, you've got to go to our registration page, either to our website or to the Facebook page. And on that note, as I always say in closing, again, thank you so much, Denise, Fallon, Tony, Zena, for being part of our staff and helping us here at the Love Zone USA reach over 156,000 listeners, people who are listening to the show and hopefully gaining what we talk about, education, elevation, and a little bit of entertainment. And so that leaves me with two artists I'd like to close with this night. And if you think you're in that situation where you can't get out of the debt, well, these two artists will tell you that you can. With the resources that Pastor Soares can provide you and all the information, well, maybe you just need a little word of encouragement if you think you're too deep in it. And these next two artists will give you that word. As I close off, as I always say in closing before I go, I've enjoyed your company. Hope you've enjoyed mine. For those of you who did, I'll see you another time. Whatever you do, do it with two. It's more fun than one. And just remember, marriage is a partnership. It takes two working together in communication, commitment, and compromise. And most of all, compatibility. The four C's, the four bricks to build it with. But when we talk about debt, and those of you who think you can't, yes, you can. I'm going to leave you in the hands of Marvin Sapp. And he says, I never would have made it without you. Here inside the Love Zone, USA.com.
Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me. I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me. And I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you are the one I held on to. And I never could have made it. Oh, I never could have made it. Yeah.
Somebody just needs to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm strong. I'm wise. I'm better. Much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell him, never could have made it.
The Love Zone USA, the Love Zone where you love hear the temptation. Jaheim.
Hey, how you doing? Oh. Baby, what you get from you?
I don't
know what your name is or who you came with, but I ain't leaving without you.
Smokey Robinson. Love Zone USA, where you can listen to your heart, and we live and learn.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.